is on games that teach. It's funny how I ended up getting involved with games for teaching. At one point, we have at our church a children's youth group. I'm sure many of you have like a youth group, but how many of you have like a youth group for children? Like a 12 and under, no? Okay, so we actually have that. And it's for ages 7 to 12, and they come in, and it's really more a focus of just fun and games. But I got involved in working with them several years back, and it bothered me that the kids were coming in and it was just about playing games. Because why would we only be playing games? I'm like, we're supposed to be teaching them about Jesus. I'm like, yeah, we have the godly fellowship, but no. My little teacher came out and I was like, I need to teach them something. So I started looking into games and how I could incorporate little lesson plans with games. So I really did start off with the focus of having fun and just putting like a take-home lesson in there. So what I'm going to do is literally I'm going to give you a ton of games to go through. Maybe not a ton, several. But what I want to talk about is how to incorporate the games as a lesson, okay? So when you're incorporating the games into the lesson, you want the kids to think that they're just playing a game. Okay, so it's going to start off and you're not going to, usually I don't tell them, the point of this game is that you will learn not to touch sin and to stay far away from it. I will say, oh, we're going to play this awesome game. And I get all excited and I start telling them all the rules. And I'm like, you're going to run around in circles and you're going to wave your hands and you're going to touch your toes and whatever. I get excited. So you really want them to think it's a game, but you want to give them the lesson. Okay, so you don't want to just play the game and let it be that. Because if you just play the game and let it be that, you have lost a vital opportunity to teach the kids something. And you want every opportunity you can get to plant the word of God in their hearts. So when I was doing this with the little kids' youth, I came across an article. I don't know who wrote it. I don't know how to find it. I have no idea. But the article was about effective game leading, okay? How to lead a game, how to get keep the excitement going. So some pointers with that. You have to be flexible. Back to the quote from my pastor, blessed are the flexible, for they shall not be bent out of shape. It applies in so many areas. But if the kids aren't even finding your game fun, they're not going to get the lesson. Hang it up, move on. Or you've got to switch it up, okay? So I'm sure I have this game listed further down, but I'm going to give you an example of taking a game and just morphing it, okay? Because sometimes you have to morph your game and you have to be on your toes, okay? Now, if you're not quick on your feet, like thinking like that, then you need to plan it out. Like, here's my backup plan times five. Okay, so I was playing this game called Balloon Up, and all you do is you take a balloon and you keep it up, right? Everybody's played that. It's a random game, it's easy, and it's a little bit amusing. Don't let the balloon touch the ground. And while we're playing this game, I'm like, you gotta lift up your brother and your sister. And I was not planning on teaching a lesson with this, but it turned into a lesson and it morphed as I played the game. So I said, okay, you know what? That's your best friend right there. And your best friend is going through a trial. Keep them up. Lift them up. How are you going to lift them up? You're going to give them an encouraging word. Don't let them fall. Don't let them backslide. You want to lift them up. I said, we don't tear down one another. I'm like, you're going to lose the game. You better lift them up. So we started doing that. And I said, you know what? Everybody stop for a minute. So I got them all their own balloon. And I wrote their names on it. And I said, now, you don't want anybody to fall. Okay? You don't want anybody to fall. You don't want anybody to slip. You want every one of your friends to stay in church. You want them to grow and be strong Christians and serve God all their lives, right? So you're not going to keep your balloon up. I said, you can be responsible for yourself, but I want you to lift up your friends. So we started playing the game, and they're lifting up, and they're getting everybody, and they're trying not to let anybody balloon fall. And I said, you know, that was really easy, wasn't it? I said, but what about when the devil really starts attacking your friends? And I sent somebody, this was like totally on the spot. And I sent in a person to be the devil. And so they start knocking the balloons down, and the kids are like, ah, now they're freaking out. They're like, you know, they're going all over the place. And so then I send in another devil person. So I started like grabbing random people that were at the church, and I have like three people in there trying to tear down, trying to destroy these lives. And as they're playing the game, you know, it started off as a game. It started off really fun, but it got really intense when I started talking to them about being an encourager and lifting up one another and not tearing down one another and not falling prey to gossip and just all these different distractions that the devil would throw in your life. And it was effective. They were like, why is this game impacting me like this, you know? But they took something home from that. There was a little bit of an attitude change you could see in some of the kids because, you know, they're thinking they're having fun, but when that fun turns and that lesson kicks in, it holds. So in that lesson, that example, it was in the middle of the game that I started teaching the lesson. There didn't have to be a second lesson. I didn't have to stop and give teaching. I just let the game go, and I just morphed the game, and it was an effective game, and it taught something. Sometimes the lesson can be taught first, and the game will bring home the point. I can't think of a game where I've done that. I probably have it in here. Oh, yeah, capture the keys. So capture the keys, I taught the lesson first, and it was about guarding our hearts. And so I had like a little keychain, and it was little hearts, and it had bells on it. And how the game works is you take a chair. So here's your chair, and under the chair you have a pool noodle. No, sorry, different game. Under the chair you have the key, and the kid is holding the pool noodle, okay? So they're holding a pool noodle. There's keys under their chair, and that's their heart, okay? And they're blindfolded, okay? So when you're under spiritual attack, you can't see what's coming at you. You don't see the spirit. You know, you sense it, you feel it, you have a little bit of discernment that it's there, but you don't necessarily see what's coming at you. So I taught this lesson, and I said, so what your goal is, if you are in that chair, you've got to guard your heart. You've got to guard it from the things that are coming in. I said, what kind of things are coming in? And so, you know, they started giving me input. They said, well, you know, peer pressure, television, family, friends, neighbors, teachers at school, if they're in public school. So we went through and we talked about it, and then they played the game. And I reminded them. Now, when you start off with it, sometimes what happens is their mind gets off of that lesson. So what I'll do is I'll bring it back up as the gameplay is going on. I'll remind them, hey, this isn't just a game, you know. We're remembering that we've got to guard our hearts. And so maybe I'll say that, ooh, I see a spirit of depression coming in. How are you going to guard your heart from that? I see this attack coming in on your family. How are you going to guard your heart against that? And so bring back up your lesson if you start with the lesson. If you give them the lesson before you do the game, you want to remind them as they're playing the game so they remember. Now, one game can be used for several different lessons, okay? So with Capture the Keys, some other lessons I thought of, guarding your hearts I felt was really effective, but you could also talk about Shema and the bean field. And, you know, he guarded that field of lentils. And so now they're guarding something. What are you guarding? Are you guarding truth? You know, Shema was just taking ground. He was not letting the devil have any leeway. He wasn't letting the enemy come in and take ground. So you can teach about that. And then also the battles you fight to get your blessing. That was another thing that came to my mind. That sometimes there's a blessing waiting for you and God wants to bless you, but you've got to go through some things before you ever get your blessing. So they're sitting in the chair and they're fighting and they're having to fight some things to get to their blessing. Or the kid's coming too. They're trying to get the blessing. They're trying to get the keys. So they're trying to get their blessing, but they've got to get around that battle, that person that's going to hit them upside the head with that pool noodle. And sometimes they hit really hard. I have a rule I establish. Kids end up hurt and they end up crying. And sometimes it's more like I just got hit, so I'm really embarrassed. And they're not hurt. I'm a nurse, so unless I see blood, I'm really not concerned. So I usually, if I'm doing a game where I'm thinking they're probably going to end up hurt, I normally start off and I tell them that there's no tears allowed. There's no crying. I said, there's nothing about this game that you are going to be physically harmed permanently. You might hurt for a few minutes, but if you feel the need to cry, excuse yourself to the bathroom. Don't come crying to me. Okay? And believe it or not, it works. They'll get hit and they'll be like, and they'll just breathe through it. And they're just like, Sister Jillian's not taking my tears. I better not cry. I don't know. Maybe I'm a little cruel, but I don't have to deal with the tears. I can't stand the tears. Next game. I have this game called Touch Not the Unclean Thing. This is like my favorite game of all time. I'll tell you all the other things, and then I'll tell you like what my favorite way to teach is. You can use this with Adam and Eve. Obviously, they went and touched something they weren't supposed to touch. You can talk about holiness, peer pressure, and separation. So the first time I used this game, and I'm about to do this game again this month. I'm so excited. So we get a television, okay? And we're talking about separation from the world and media influence. And so I was telling my kids, I'm like, this is not good for you. I'm like, I know a bunch of you have TVs in your home, and I've told you before, don't turn it on. Go to another room. Go outside. Don't submit yourself to this TV. And so we're going to do a lesson on this again this month. And how I did it before is I had like two televisions, and I plastic wrapped them just in case shattering glass or anything. And this is while we were outside, but we put the TV in the middle of the group, and they all take hands. Our church is very much boys and girls aren't holding hands, so I had a girl group and a boy group, and they had to hold hands, and the goal is not to touch the unclean thing, but while you're playing, can I get a few people to help me demonstrate this? Okay. Yeah, we'll use the guys. The guys will come and the guys will do this. Let me take my phone off of this. Okay, so circle up around here. You probably need like two more. You guys come. All right, so you guys are all going to hold hands, and usually the guys get really uncomfortable. Doesn't matter their age. Thank God that they feel the need to be men, and they don't want to hold hands with each other, but, you know, you remind them, it's just a game. So this right here, the game is technically called Poison, if you want to look it up. It's called Poison. So that pulpit, that is unclean, all right? Now, in life, there's some unclean things, such as television, ungodly music, ungodly dress, ungodly friends. You know, there's things that you don't want to touch and you don't want to be a part of. But you're going to have friends that are going to pull on you. And they're going to try to get you to touch that. So can you guys...
You
broke hands.
I have to hit that?
You don't want to hit it, but if they pull you and you touch it... But you can't let go of hands. And no crying.
They all picked on him, though.
So here's the thing. While they're doing it, they can't let go of hands. All right, they can do that, but they have to come right back around. Don't let go of hands. If you let go of hands, you're out. I make that rule because they're quick to let go of hands to escape. All right, go. Both of you are out, see? So you let go. So you see, they're already laughing because it is fun, right? You get to yank on other people and they fall to the ground and they get rug burn or grass burn and it's hysterical. This is definitely one of those games where I have to establish the rule, no crying. Inevitably, one of my little 5 or 6 year old girls is like, and I'm like, go to them. Yeah. Thank you guys. Hand clap. Good job. Good job. It is so super fun to play that game. But it really gets the point home that peer pressure, you know what? You don't want to touch the unclean thing, but you're going to have peer pressure that is going to affect you and is going to try to draw you into that. And you don't want to be a part of it. Now I'm going to give you, here's a bonus, okay? Little bonus. If you get these televisions donated, it's pretty easy to get them donated. You know, find a new convert and to ask them to donate their television. that however big LED screen or whatever, you don't need that in your house. Donate it to Sunday school, okay? I'm serious. Wrap it up in something so that when glass, when it blows up, that it doesn't blow out. You want to wrap it up really good. I get moving plastic, that roll. And we just wrap it. Then you get up on the roof and you throw it down. And then you take hammers and rocks and the kids get to stone it and break it. It's amazing. Yes, I do this. I do this. So I did this about a year ago, over a year ago, because we've been in our building so about a year and a half ago. And the kids to this day have asked me, when are we doing it again? When do we get to smash the television? Because it's so fun. So yeah, at our new building, there, you can kind of access the roof. So this time I'm going to have them take, I found some televisions in the building and it's open game. Like, we're not using televisions. So I'm going to take those televisions. I don't even have to ask for donation, wrap them up real good. And I'm going to have one of the brothers get up on the roof and like throw it off the roof. And we're just going to have fun. Yeah. But the kids loved it and it brought home the point. Don't touch the unclean thing. That is not good for me. So now these are some games that I like just found recently. First one is called Bag Head Battle. I have not even played this yet. So here's the instructions. Bag Head Battle. Students try to pull the bag off each other's heads while protecting their own, their bag. So it's a paper bag. Don't use plastic. Okay. Hopefully we all have enough common sense, but I know sometimes that doesn't work out. So paper bag. So they're trying to keep their paper bag, but they're trying to get everybody else's, right? Now, if they have a paper bag and everybody else has a paper bag, who can see who has a paper bag? Nobody. Which is great. So it's kind of like a blindfolded balloon stop type of game. So last person with the bag on their head wins. Oh, my word. Blindfolded balloon stomp? That would be horrible. Like, their toes would all be broken. Could you imagine somebody wearing, like, Timberlands? And whew, I've had a kid stomp my toe, and it, like, she broke it. I would not play that game for my own personal safety. So you want to establish the rules of not holding the bag on their heads. Because if they're holding it, obviously nobody's going to get it off. And then also making sure they're aiming high and not low. Obvious reasons. Separate the boys and the girls. Again, obvious reasons. I would almost say, like, have the girls play and the boys get to cheer them on. And then the girls play and the boys get to cheer them, because it could be very bad. But the take-homes that I saw with this game, I saw, you know, talking about the blind leading the blind. walking in false doctrine and darkness. So these people, you know, they're walking around, they're in false doctrine, they don't have truth, and they think they're okay. You know, you think that you can get that bag off their head, but you don't know what you're reaching at. You know, you don't fully, you don't know God. You don't even know his name, and yet you're trying to take things off of other people's eyes. So that's how it is walking in false doctrine. It's so important to have truth and have the light, have good vision. I have a bunch of scriptures, but I don't have what the scriptures are about written down. Does somebody have their Bible? It's okay. I have mine in my purse. So I'll give you the scriptures because you want to have a scripture to tie in when you're teaching these lessons. I always give a scripture. Sorry that I totally like didn't give you scriptures with the other games. Charge it to my head, not my heart. Let's see. I've got Luke 11. I think this is actually the blind leading the blind scripture. Stop going dark on me. 11, verse 34 through 36. The light of the body is in the eye. Therefore, when thine eye is single, thy whole body also is full of light. But when thine eye is evil, thy body also is full of darkness. Take heed, therefore, that the light which is in thee be not darkness. If thy whole body, therefore, be full of light, having no part dark, the whole shall be full of light, as when the bright shining of a candle doth give thee light. There's a lot of these, thous, and thuses in there. I would say find a different version to use when you're teaching it, just to make it clear. And then I have Matthew 7 and 3. That's the blind leading the blind. Oh, no, it's not. And why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but considereth not the beam that is in thine own eye? So again, that goes with the false doctrine thing too. And then John 11 and 10. The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. Wait, did I just read the... Oh, sorry. Dyslexia here. I don't actually have it, but sometimes I act like it. But if a man walk in the night, he stumbleth, because there is no light in him. Okay, so walking without light. So a few scriptures there for you. The other game I had... Now, I can't wait to play the bag game. Baghead sounds really fun to me. So this other game I have is Binocular Race. Now, I saw this on, I think, Pinterest, and I about died all over myself because I just got this amazing picture in my head, and I was like, oh, this is going to be so great. So it's a relay race, okay? But while they're doing the relay race, they have to hold binoculars to their eyes the whole time. That's totally the gist of it. Okay, so, I mean, you could just do, like, a straight-up race across the room, but in my vision, and I think in the picture they had it, so they had to get, like, the diver, like, the fins for swimming. So first, you know, they have to put on the fins, and then they have to start running, and they have to go through tires, and then they have to go under a rope and go over a trash can, and oh, it would just be so funny. Just for humor's sake, I mean, like, this is one of those things I would play just so I could laugh. And not even have a lesson, like, I would forget. But I do have some lessons for you. So when you're not walking in the Spirit, if you're not filled up with the Holy Ghost, if you're not prayed up and you're trying to walk every day, your vision is so off kilter. You know, think of when you're trying to walk with binoculars, or even you could just get somebody's, find, like, the blindest person in your church and take their glasses. You could play it that way, too. They can't see straight. They don't know where they're going, and that's how it is when you're not walking in the Spirit, when you're not prayed up. A distorted vision. Looking at the wrongs of a situation. So instead of trying to find the good in a situation, you're always looking at the wrong, always looking at the negative, a lack of thankfulness. You know, if you're not grateful for what God has given you, your vision is distorted. It's a twisted way of thinking. Okay, this next game we played recently with our youth, I will say it's definitely for older kids. I wouldn't play it with anything under 10. It's called Paranoia. I'm going to read you the rules, and I'm going to tell you how we ended up playing it. We had... pray before this game. Because we had some very, very upset young people when we played this game. But the point got drawn home. Like, I mean, it hit them hard. So everyone sits in a circle. Each person thinks of a who question. Example, who has the coolest shoes or who was most likely to become famous? Who is the biggest foodie in the room? Who, you know what? And some of these who questions, who do you look up to as a prayer warrior? Who is a great worshiper in the church? These can be some of the topics. The kids don't normally think like that, though. So pick someone to start. That person whispers their question to the person on their right, and the person they asked has to answer the question out loud with the name of someone in the circle. Here's the catch. The question is not said out loud, just the answer. A coin is flipped. Tails means the group gets to hear the question that was asked. Heads means the question remains a secret forever. Hence, paranoia. Now, you guys are already like, this can cause some problems, right? You can see how I ended up with some angry kids. It was the teenagers. We did this with the older kids. We did establish the rule. It cannot be rude. It cannot be demeaning. And what it really shows is how gossip feels and also about sowing discord. So how we ended up playing this game is we played it like that, but the kids were just like, when they started feeling that paranoia, when their names started getting called out, they got real just antsy. They were really annoyed. I mean, I had some kids, they were just like, I don't want to play this game. I don't like this. And so all of us youth leaders, we were like, we're playing this game. There's a point that you're going to get at the end of this game. And my word, it was very heavy in the room. So we went around and they were thinking that it was about to be done. And my fiance was like, they don't get it. I'm going to ask the questions now. And so he went around and he started asking them questions, and he got more into the other things I was saying. So some of the questions were random. Some of them were like, who has the smallest hands? But some of the questions were, who do you look up to as a prayer warrior? You know, who do you want to go to McDonald's and hang out with? So he's asking these questions, and I kept doing heads. So it kept skipping, and nobody's hearing the question. And I mean, oh, they were getting so worked up. But at the end, he started teaching and he started talking to them about, we asked them, you know, number one, how does it make you feel when you're just hearing your name and you know something's being said about you? And we just went in and we started honing in on the effects of gossip and of sowing discord and how these doubts rise up and this paranoia. And how it doesn't just have an effect on one person. Like, you think you're talking about so-and-so, and that's no big deal. But, hey, what if somebody's talking about you? And how do you feel when that happens? And at the end of it, we had the kids were kind of making commentary and saying how they felt. And a lot of them thanked us at the end. Some of them were still mad when they left, even after the lesson was explained. Coincidentally, it might have been people that were convicted. You know, just a coincidence that they happened to be a little gossipy. But that was the part of the point. But a lot of the kids were just like, thank you, because you know what? This is such an issue. And I've had people talking about me, and I've seen this going on, and it was bothering me, and you just talked about it. And they were like, thank you. So like I said, it's definitely pray beforehand. And it's a somber game. It's a very serious game. And yeah, but it was very effective. I don't even have any more. Okay, I do have one more that I didn't even put in here. So last year, I wanted to have just like a crazy big Christmas party. Now we're coming up to the holidays, so I'm going to give you this gem. This is actually, I I wrote an article. So this is on Next Level Kidmin and Apostolic Sunday School. Touch not the unclean thing I put in there too. So on Next Level Kidmin, and it's also on apostolicsundayschool.com. So both of them have the article posted. So I don't even know that there's a name, because I didn't do this as a teaching opportunity. I did this as a party. And after the fact, I felt so guilty for not teaching. But how it went was I got a ton of wrapping paper. It's like right after Christmas, end of the year party. And wrapping paper, bows and ribbon and tape and tissue paper. And I divvied up the kids in all these groups. And I had them wrap up the smallest member of their group. And I just, how I worked it out was, my birthday is in December. And it was like I said, it was like the last week of the year. And I told them, I'm so upset. None of you got me a birthday present. And then you didn't even get me a Christmas present. And I just got all dramatic on them. And I just was like whining and crying about how they just neglected me and they don't even love me. And so I'm going to force them to give me a gift, and I want them to each present me with a gift. So whoever they wrapped up, that was going to be my gift. And so they had a ball, and the kids, the little kids who ended up being wrapped up, oh, they loved it. It was the cutest thing ever, because they're all like, hee, 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 you know, they're all like giggling and just cracking up because they're getting wrapped up as a present and they're getting rolled on the floor. And it was so funny. There's pictures with the article. I have pictures on my Instagram too. But on Facebook, I have the whole video. That's even better. So at the end, I have them bring all the kids up, and they have to like literally pick up these kids because they've wrapped them so tight. And they put them up on the stage, and I'm like, now I get to unwrap my Christmas gifts, all of my birthday Christmas presents. And so I go through, and I'm like, yeah! And so I start ripping off all the paper, and I'm throwing it, and I'm shredding it, and the kid's like, and they're just cracking up because I'm just attacking them to rip off all this wrapping paper. They loved being my gifts. It was just the cutest thing. It was so fun. So after the fact, I realized, oh my word, I could have taught so many lessons with this. But thinking, okay, before I say it, can anybody, any of you think of a lesson that would apply with that? Just from the description I gave you. Huh? Our bodies are temple. Okay. Anybody else? God's gift to us. What was that? Gift of the Holy Ghost. Okay. No more. That's about it. But I thought about, you know, God wants to give us the Holy Ghost, and you know, he wraps it up and he just wants to give, and we just have to open it up. Right. I did think about our bodies, a temple, how we are a gift. Okay. You know, we need to keep ourselves holy and keep ourselves separate, because God looks at us and we are so precious to him, and we are just such a beautiful gift. You know, he made us and he loves us, and just the excitement of seeing us take care of our spiritual selves, you know, of staying separate, staying holy, serving him, loving him, how our praise affects God. I pointed out how, I could point out how excited I was to open up those gifts, and how our praise and our worship is such a gift to God, and God is just so pleased and so excited to see us lift up our hands and to lift up our voice and to worship him and exalt him. Oh man, I know I had more than that. I had like so many that came to mind after I did it, and I was like, oh, I felt so guilty. I can't think of them now though. Okay, so you can take almost any game. I mean any game, and you can turn it into a Bible lesson. I will say not everybody thinks like this. I'm just off kilter. I don't know. It's weird. It's just how my brain works that this is like, I'll see a game and I'll think of a Bible lesson. I'll see something really random and I'll think of a Bible lesson, and it's like, where did you get that from? But what I do is I go on and I look up youth group games. Sometimes you can look up games with a lesson. Sometimes that game can be where they're not even necessarily a game, but sometimes it is an activity where they're acting, they're being a part of. So just being a part of a story. A game that we play with our youth is called Aquila and Priscilla. Has anybody ever heard of that? No? Oh, man. It's like the funnest game ever. You need a lot of space, and you need some rooms and stuff, and you need a lot of supervision. You got to be careful about supervision sometimes. But how it works is Aquila and Priscilla, they're trying to start churches, and they're trying to convert people. And the church is underground. The church is on the move, just like in the book of Acts. And so they're going out, and they're witnessing. But there is a Judas out there who's trying to trip them up and trying to find out who they are and tell on them, right? So we have either Judas or Jezebel. That's how we do it. Jezebel, just because she's evil. And then we also have the soldiers. And the soldiers are out to find the Christians and kill them and take them to prison, you know? So how it goes is we start the game. They're in a circle, and everybody has their head down, eyes closed. And we go around and we say, okay, we have a Aquila, we have a Priscilla. All right, only the Aquila and Priscilla, lift up your heads, look at each other, put your heads down. Then we choose our soldiers. We choose our jailers, because you got to have somebody to watch the jail. And then we choose our Judas or Jezebel. The gameplay, they have it's timed. It's like 12 minutes. And we set the timer. We send all we send everybody running out. And immediately they're trying to get to the church, get a location, get everybody there, get it on the move. Soldiers are arresting people. Judas is trying to find them. If Judas rats on the Christians, if Judas shows where the church is or rats out Aquila and Priscilla, then the soldiers win. Or if Aquila and Priscilla both end up in prison, then the soldiers win. So within 12 minutes, the soldiers are trying to arrest Aquila and Priscilla or find out where the church is. And if within 12 minutes they don't, then the church wins. It's crazy. It's fun. It's very fast-paced. Another game that just came to mind. Have you guys ever heard of the game? There's a couple names for it. Assassin or If Looks Could Kill. If Looks Could Kill is the way I learned it. You know the game? So you sit in a circle, and everybody puts their heads down, and you choose the assassin. And when they pick up their heads, they're to look around, and they have to make eye contact with everybody. But the assassin is going to kill them. So that little wink is going to kill them, and then they have to dramatically fall down and die. And you're trying to see, you know, can the assassin kill the most people possible first? I know I've used this for a Bible lesson, and I'm trying to think of how I tied it in. The look on your face, your body language. So, you know, sometimes you throw somebody a dirty look, and you don't know how that's going to affect them. We always played as assassin because that's how I introduced it on a youth night, and I wasn't doing a lesson with it. So they all know it as Assassin. It's a favorite game. And it's really funny if the kids get dramatic while they're dying. And sometimes I'll choose like two or three assassins. I do have to establish the rule that like there has to be three killings before they can start accusing an assassin, because their goal is to, you know, point out who the assassin is without getting killed. They want to stop the assassinations.